Welcome everyone to a new episode of the Calisthenics Insider Podcast by Gore Nation. My name is Phil and today's guests are Andrew Strong and Daniel Christoph. You can look forward to this podcast episode because we've been talking about many different things, about their injuries, how they get out of there, what they learn from it, and how you can learn and profit from their experience. How to learn the best planche, how to compare CrossFit, calisthenics, street lifting, all with each other, and where the future of the sport lays. Enjoy the episode. You find all the topics we talked about here in the timestamps and also in the description, so you can jump to the topic that is most interesting for you. Now, let's enjoy the episode. Welcome, everyone, to a new podcast episode of the Calisthenics Insider Podcast. I'm Phil, and I'm really looking forward to this talk with two amazing athletes, maybe two of the most famous planchers in the world, two super strong athletes in different stages of their lives. And I'm looking forward to this talk to discuss different topics. We have received a lot of questions from the community, and today is the day that we will discuss those. So welcome, Daniel. Welcome, Andre, to the podcast.
Thanks for the invite.
Awesome. So, both of our podcast episodes that we did singularly a few years ago got really good views. So I think we're almost over 300,000 views on YouTube alone with the podcast interviews in total. So people are really interested in your training approaches, in your lives, in you as a person. And I thought, you know, like when we were chatting, me with Daniel, me with Andre, I saw similarities because you were both, having injuries, struggling with your health and joints, let's say, a few months ago, and Daniel still is. So, I thought this would be a really nice episode. Injuries are an extremely big part of the calisthenics scene. A lot of people have injuries. And my goal for this podcast episode is to take your learnings, to take your experience that you had in the past years and give them a little bit to the community so we have less injuries. So, maybe Andre, you want to start. Maybe you talk a little bit about your background story and how you got the injury and what injury.
Okay, so about my background story. You know what I noticed that about our previous podcast and now is I'm get older. I remember like because I checked the podcast, like I was checking like a YouTube, you know, how many video I have about me, you know, like another creator. I'm like, oh, I'm look so young. And now like, okay. So about the background story. Actually, I get injured not from the calisthenic skills, not from the crazy stuff what I do, like a jump, handstand jump, all of this. I get injured because I just went to the gym in Dubai. I went to the most famous gym in Dubai. What is the name?
Gravity?
No. Bodybuilding gym. I decided to challenge bodybuilders. And just with one specific exercise, it was ab wheel rollout. Abs will roll out. So, you know, like I can do crazy one arm, abs will roll out. And I decided, went to the gym and challenge and film YouTube video. So as a result, I went, there was four levels, kneeling, standing, one arm kneeling and one arm full. And everything going well. Bodybuilder show great result. A lot of people was able to do full one. Then, of course, nobody was able to do one arm. But as a result, every person challenged me. Oh, we don't believe that you can do one arm. Can you show me? Can you show me? Can you show me? Can you show me? And as a result, in that filming period, like 2 hours, everyone asked me about one arm. And you know, one arm, it's like, it's crazy. It's like a huge tension in your shoulder. And after like, I think 15, 20 attempts, I start feeling like a huge pain in my shoulder. And then last attempt, I remember I did, and I feel even something pump in my shoulder. Then as a result, I feel like a huge pain. And next day I fly to the Czech Republic and I couldn't lift my arm. I was like, how can I lift my arm? Yeah, I went to the doctor, physiotherapist, and she told me like, oh, everything looks good. I'm like, okay, it's so interesting. Like I say, I feel huge pain. I can't lift arm over the head, you know. And she told me like, oh, just need massage and some like a physiotherapy. I said, okay, great, let's do it. So we did. It didn't help at all. Then I back to Dubai. I start to train and prepare for some performance. There was some big event come, and as a result, I couldn't do anything. I tried and huge pain, and decided to cancel everything what I had in that time. And then like for few weeks, I still feel huge pain. I contact different physiotherapists, like who can help me, you know. We did like a different assessment about what can be. And as a result, nobody told me, oh, it can probably be like rotator cuff injury. You know, they told me like, maybe you have a biceps tendonitis. I'm like, okay, that's not a big deal, so no problem. Then when I went to Chile to give a birth for the my newborn baby, so we fly to the Chile. Again, I went to one doctor. He told me, oh, nothing serious, just bicep tendonitis. I'm like, okay, I still can train. Then pain, I can train. And you know, like I went to Chile. There's a lot of people who know me, who knows me. I went to the sport park and everybody like, oh, Andrew Strong, can you show me something? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do push-up here, you know, just like a band work and that's it. And that lasts like for a few months. I had a pain and I didn't know what happened. Then as a result, I went to another doctor and we made MRI for my shoulder and X-ray for my elbow as well. Both elbows. Yeah, there's another story about my elbows. And he told me, oh, you have partial torsion supraspinatus 6 millimeters. I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you to let me know. And he told me like, okay, look, you can do like some recovery exercises. If it's not healed, then we need to make a injection. If it's not healed, then maybe even the surgery. I'm like, okay, I don't want to surgery, but I will try to heal. I contact different specialists. Nobody could help me. A lot of people told me like, okay, stretching, you know, like isometrical. But when I did that treatment, as a result, next day it's make even worse. Then I start to do a lot of researches, like a video on YouTube, a lot of researches. And then I found the solution. How can I help and how can I treat? And now, thanks God, I can finally do the crazy planche variation, planche push-up, because for like 6 months, I couldn't do planche push-up. Even one planche push-up, I couldn't do. I try like planche hold was still fine, but to do like push-up, bent arm and huge sharp pain. So yeah, that's like a story about how I injured.
Oh, yeah, maybe a lot of similarities, no, Daniel?
Yeah, a lot.
I would say it's with the doctors.
It's all similar story, man. It's like, yeah, mine was, I was in the gym preparing for SUAP like 1 year ago already. And I did some really good workout preparing myself for SUAP with the most like effective combinations that I can do. And after the workout, I already trained like 3 to 4 hours. And yeah, you know, bad things happen when you don't expect them. And me and another guys in the gym, we're just having fun. We start jumping on the trampoline, doing some flips, you know. And this is sometimes we end just the workout like that. Just the workout is going in that way. And yeah, I decided, I felt that little pain, little signal from my body in the lower back. And I was like, okay, something is happening. But because of the atmosphere, exactly what he's saying, when people pushed you, it's so difficult to stop. You know, they was like, let's go. I was like, okay, let's go. I did the jump. I felt crazy pain in my lower back. It was like that something break there, you know. And until I realized I was in the trap, the place that you just jump and it's with the mats inside, that mats cover you. And it was impossible to go out. For the first time, my legs don't want to support me. I was shocked. And people helped me to go out. There was a physiotherapist in the gym that I call and I said, like, try to fix something because I feel like I did a crazy damage on my nerve on the lower back on the right side. Then he tried to switch, you know, he popped my pelvic and everything, but nothing helped. They asked me, do you want to go to the doctor immediately? And I said, no. And this was the biggest mistake that I made back then. So my girlfriend drove me back home and the pain was crazy. I can't even stay straight like that. Netko and another guy in the gym, they helped me to go out of the gym. to sit in the car. And yeah, it was really difficult. So it took me like 12 days to feel way better and that shooting pain to disappear. And at the beginning, I was like, okay, I just pinched my nerve in the lower back. This will recover. It's not the first time. So 12 days later, you know, super motivated for street workout ultimate battles. I was back in the gym trying to perform again. And like Andre is saying, it happened again, 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 and again. So it's pain always. You feel better, then you push, it's pain. Better push, it's pain. And after 1 month, I just got so tired from that feeling. And I was like, fuck, man, I'm going to a doctor. Then I visited the doctor and somehow they decided to do a CT scan. I did it and they found on the left side that they have a broken, I have a broken vertebra fracture. It's a stress fracture. It's one of the most common injuries in gymnastics. So it's super specific also and normal for our sport. I even know many people from our sport have it. And they said, that's the end. You can train. This is so risky. The name of that injury is spondylosis. And I asked them what can happen. They said, if this progresses to spondylolisthesis, then it can break also on the other side, on the right side, and the spine can slip. When the spine slips, it takes all the nerves in the canal together, and you have crazy problems with the legs. So I got really scared, and I was like, that's the end for me, you know, because I see it on the screen and everything. But thinking a few months later, I stopped, you know, I put a belt, maybe that fracture can heal and everything, but the doctor said it's old one. So I was kind of in trap position without the possibility to do anything. Then I decided to visit another doctor. And when I visited him, he said, wait, which side is the painful? I said, right side. It's from the beginning really painful. He said, yes, but the fracture is on the left side and there is a possibility that fracture to not be a problem. Then I got some motivation back. You know, I was like, okay, maybe I can survive that situation and be back in the game. Visited 10 more doctors that we talk about the situation. I visited hospital 2 times for injections in the, some doctors are saying facet joints syndrome. Some are saying other problems with the vertebra. Some are saying that it's because of my scoliosis and everything. But I know exactly on that day when I jumped, the pain come acute pain, like immediate pain. And I never experienced lower back pain before. So I keep searching. I fight for the answers that I want to get. I contacted doctors in Spain, in Greece also. Many people helped me. So thank you guys if you're watching this. I'm so thankful. And finally, right now we have a solution because it's the first doctor that I found that finally showing something on the screen that they have on the right side and not every, because everyone is taking the fracture on the left side. And now the final diagnosis is sacroiliitis on my sacrum. I have a inflammation and it's chronic already because it passed 1 year and it's so problematic because if you don't take medicine, injections and these type of things, you can't actually fight with it, or if you fight with it, it will take year or maybe years to recover fully. So I decided to go and now in 1 week I'll be in the hospital trying to recover it, but overall feel way better. My mind is clear. Like I said, now controlling the situation, I feel like I'll be back. I know it. It's just a matter of time. And yeah, getting my strength back. And yeah, there's one recommendation I can give to the people. When they have that body signal that something will happen, just stop. Just listen to your body. Many people are like, kill the body, destroy the body. No, listen to it if you want to perform in the long term. If not, you end like us right now fighting months to be back in the game.
Yeah. Very good advice actually, you know, because also like before I'm like I did Maltese, you know, like Maltese presses, all of this, and I felt some like a biceps pain, you know, biceps tendon pain, it's fine. And now I understand like, wow, I could injure my biceps in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I feel. And also many people think only about the level, you know, But the level is actually coming when you have a good recovery and these type of things that people really skip. And it's the most important.
Yes.
And this, like, I have to think of the sentence, the ego is the enemy. Yeah, because
yeah, exactly.
It's often when you don't listen, you listen to your body. And I think you too wouldn't be in the position where you are today if you wouldn't have a good feeling for your body. But if the ego takes over, or like the ego gets pushed from other people outside and you can't control it, this is where overtraining happens, where injuries happen.
Yeah, especially like when people try to challenge you, you know, and like, ah, oh, I'm not weak, I'm going to do. And then like, okay, now you are weak.
Yeah, exactly. And also about the injuries, the mind is something that if you learn to control, it's just your body will follow it. Because in my situation, I dropped many times in depressions, which I was surprised of that because of my mentality and how I think about the things in the future. This time I was so down, I lost myself in that situation and was so difficult. But then one day I was like, what will happen even if I sit and cry, or I just try to be better, you know, in that situation and do the best to recover? Then somehow I changed my mindset and everything just started to be better, you know. Even with the workouts, my pain feel less. And yeah, it's just crazy how your mind can control the situation of the pain and everything. It's all connected.
Yeah, that's the difference between like pro athletes and beginner, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the time when beginners, intermediate athletes injure themselves, like, oh, that's it. That's finished. Okay.
Yeah.
I will not back to the training.
Yeah.
But about the pro athletes, doesn't matter what happened. Even like a first day, second day, you feel very depressed and you're like, what, crazy. I need to rest for a few months and then recovery for a few months. And that's can affect your mindset. But for sure, if you've been pushing through 10 years, through pain, through injury, through like a stuck point, through plateau, and then one day if you get something, you can still deal it and you can fight it and you can become better. And every injury, every bad situation what happened, every struggle what happened during the journey, it's make you stronger. And then every time it's easier to deal it with all of this stuff.
That's so true. It's like, just like, it's like with the workouts, you're getting stronger in that.
Yes.
You know, you accept it more, you fight it more. And yeah, that's so true. So true.
Yeah. It's the same, like people ask me, oh, how can you travel? How can you change continent, country every few months?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, first time just move from Ukraine to Bali. That was crazy decision. And you had like a thought in your mind, like, oh, maybe I should not. It can be like a challenging to change completely to another country. And I'm like, Julia, okay, so where we should go? Oh, let's go to Portugal. Okay, let's buy tickets. Let's go to Portugal.
True. It's so, with everything like that.
Any challenge is become easier if you make a decision and you're not afraid and you don't have a fear to face those challenges.
Exactly.
If you have a fear, you always will be there on the back seat, not in the front.
True.
So I would be interested, do you still have trust in doctors? Or let me formulate the question, like, what would you recommend someone who is injuring himself today? How does he find the right doctor? Because you both visited 5+ doctors, you have been searching for a month or even like longer than to find an answer to your questions and to your injury.
You know, the thing is, you think like a doctor and you can trust him because like he had a degree, you know, he been studying a lot about. And when you go visit the doctor, you don't think, oh, should I trust or not? You try to trust because you already decided to visit him. And it's the hardest part because you think like, oh, maybe he's right, you know, and he can help you. But then as a result, you like with the time, you understand, okay, something wrong. And that's the hardest part, to find the right doctor. My advice is, will be like, no, for example, if you have any injury or any problem, to visit at least like 5-6 doctors, you know, different doctors. And then you can understand, okay, who provide the information what you feels like it's a right for you.
Exactly.
And then also like to do the researches by yourself to understand better as well, you know, because if you like just trust one person, maybe he want to kill you. I mean, like,
exactly.
Yeah. But if you do your own researches, and then when you go into the doctor, when you have a visit, oh, you say, oh, okay, this doctor knows something. He tell me like exactly what I was research about. And that's the most important part, like to not trust to exact one doctor, going to visit few doctors. And then, of course, like if you found your doctor who always helps you, you know, to deal the injuries, then you can always trust him. But in the beginning, especially during the first injury, is the hardest part to find the right person.
True, I fully agree with that. Because imagine myself, what if I trust the first one? Where I'll be right now? I'll be out of the sport. I'll be...
just retirement.
Yeah, crying for my broken vertebra that is probably happening 15 years ago. You know, and I train all the time with that and no problems. So yeah, Andre is saying something super important. Is that you need to actually search for your answers. What you need to upgrade your knowledge about this thing. And when you go to the doctor, just your mind will understand if it's the right direction. That's the thing. Because for myself, I became so crazy with that injury. I studied everything possible for the lower back. I talked with doctors. I paid for some doctors to have personal conversation with them about these things. So I learn. And at the end, when I visited some of the doctors, even in 5 minutes, I can tell you if this doctor is talking about the right thing or he's just talking some bullshit that I will not listen. And it happened many times. I visited some after that and they said, oh, you have this. I was like, no, how is that possible? I don't have any symptoms about that, you know? And they become mad after that. And yeah, that's why you need to search for the right one that have connection with exactly what your body feel and your mind feel it is, you know? And when you find the right one, like he's saying, you can trust and you can try. And this is how the things happened.
Yeah. You know, also like during my injury, a lot of people told me, oh, you should stretch. And then when I do a lot of searches, I'm like, stretch during the partial tour? Are you serious? Yeah. And every time when I stretch, you know, because I listen to those people and it make me worse. When I stop stretching and I just do the exercises in the full range of motion, that helps to improve the mobility and it helps to heal. Instead of just stretching and isometric hold, you know, and that was like, okay. And when I do a lot of, when I did researches and then like I found one very good physiotherapist online and he told like, never do stretch. And he explained why. And it's make a sense for me, you know, and then after that moment, I realized like everything what I did in the past few months, it was wrong.
Yeah, I also have similar thing like, I watched everything in internet, you know, trying different things. I was like, okay, today we're going to try this. Next day we're going to try this. And this is how I end in a circle that I can't escape from. But finally, I also found a physio that is also connected with calisthenics. He helped me a lot. And we start analyzing with months what can affect my injury and what cannot. And when you find those things, just remove them and use those that you don't have problem with. That's the thing. And also people need to understand sometimes rest is needed. That's true. After that, you need to know if your injury needs to be recovered with workouts or you need to rest more. That's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And what connects you here is that you both became like really, interested in the injury in your body, like you learned a lot about to have a better understanding, to not take everything for granted or for real, for true, what people tell you, maybe from the community, self-proclaimed experts or more like doctors with a degree, but still, like if you have your best understanding of your body, you are the only one who can feel what you feel. And at least what I see from you, Daniel, like you really dig deep down so much, like in the topic of your injury, that you learned so much, and that you said, like, if nothing works out, I will just become doctor for this. You know, like,
yes. True.
Yeah, and that's also important. Like, so every person should feel his body, their own body, and understand better. You know, it's not only even during about the injury; it's also about the workout. You know. Because you exactly know your body. I can't feel your body. I can't feel what pain you feel. You know where pain do you have? What do you feel during that exercise or this exercise, you know, during the specific treatment?
Exactly, yeah. That's true. I fully agree with that. It's like with me. some doctors recommend some exercises, you know, that just thinking about that, I feel like things are not be good, you know. When I try them, it's true, they're not good, but doctors are like, keep going. In my mind, I'm like, how can I keep going with something that give me the pain? So yeah, it's really important to trust your body in every situation, because only you know how much is the limit and how to control that situation with exercises.
Yes.
So yeah, maybe to summarize, you both are professionals. So you are not people who do the sport on the side. And if they are injured, they will just switch to another sport or stop at all. But you both know it's your identity to be a professional athlete. And part of being a professional athlete also means to think professionally about dealing with injuries and with obstacles in general in the sport. So for you, it wasn't an option to stop. Of course, you had a week or something of like feeling down and like being, how can I be so stupid? Like, I don't know what someone thinks after over pushing himself. And but still, you were making a plan. You had like a strategy to deal with it. You learned a lot about the injury. You listened to your body. You got a lot of information from outside, from doctors. And this basically leads then to a plan how to get out of there. Not like a victim mentality and saying, oh, I'm injured, but having a plan how to escape from it.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no plan B.
Yeah, yeah.
There is only plan A. And you just follow.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, there is no plan B, and this pushes you to, you know, there is no plan B. You have to solve it. You have to solve the situation. That's nice. Yeah. And that's maybe, let's talk about, like, there was one question from the community that I liked. I know it's really broad, but still, why do you think you are on the level that you are and many people are not yet, not on the level? You know, like, what do you think for you personally? What is the secret ingredient, Andre? What do you think?
I think actually one easy answer, and I can even show the example. It was the consistency and always challenge myself. I think that's, I become like who I am now. Because like I always think, okay, what should I do? I need to create new challenge. I need to create new challenge, new challenge, new challenge. Not just going to the basic movement, not just going to the basic variation of planche or of the handstand. You know, and always like went to the workout and always, okay, I need something new. I need something new. I need something new. And that like a new challenges to bring where I am now. And of course, the consistency of my training, the workout, because a lot of people who start with me at the same time, and they was crazy strong athletes. Now they can maybe just do like a pull up and push up and that's it, because they give up already. But with the consistency like of 12 years, with always challenging myself, with always analyzing, and even to not be afraid of learning new things, because even now I check like how I used to train 4 years ago. Now I'm like, what I did? Like what the fuck? I mean, like, I need to change completely even my, like, workout training. And that's the good thing. You always should learn. You always should learn how to become better. In 2012, there wasn't even, like, resources where I could find the information about the calisthenics. So then just what happened in 2013, I went to University of Physical Culture to become a coach, to learn about the mechanics, athleticism, all of spec, training, method of training, all of this. And that helps me a lot to bring where I'm now.
I really like the things that you said about the challenges, because that's so important. You know, you always, I feel kind of similar thing with me. Before I started, I always wanted to be different. I wanted to be not like the normal people. You know, there's nothing bad to be normal. That's absolutely okay. But for me, I wanted to be like something more fun at the beginning, let's say. And that's why I started training also, but I always wanted to challenge myself. And I think that proceed to something professionally, because I always asked myself, what if this can happen? You know, what if this can happen? What if I can become a champion in this sport? What if I can become 3 times champion in this sport? And this is how hunting those questions and hunting those goals, just they become a reality with the consistency. That's the thing. It's so important to have goals, and so important to follow them, because if you don't have the direction where you want to go, you're on one place. You're going to stay on one place. So just leave it. If you like something, just keep going it. Keep doing it to the maximum. Keep going in the right direction for you.
Yeah, it's, you know, when people ask me, can you give me one advice? I'm always give one advice. Do, if you want to be the best, do what others don't.
Yeah, exactly.
That's also what happened with my social media in the beginning, like in 2020. You know, I did what others don't. When others were just following like a basic video, okay, let's do just push-up, lunge push-up. Let's do just front lever pull-up. That's it. I was thinking the way, okay, I need to create something what other don't do it.
Exactly. No? Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why, like, even when you watch Christoph performance, Daniel performance during the competition, you can see the difference. You can see the different style. Not just copy what other don't do, you know? Because when you start watching the competition, and even sometimes I watch with my wife, like just during the breakfast, you know, some highlights, and she was like, why it's so boring, you know? But, and that's happened. I mean, like, this is the, not a, I mean, like, it's a problem in the calisthenics community as well, because during the swap, Street Workout Ultimate Battle, the live translation was only 2,000 people watch. And the final battle with the Gusta, then Tony Geist and Tavares,
yes,
7,000 views on YouTube.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Just imagine 7,000 views on YouTube. Three the strongest athletes in the world.
Yeah,
because it gets boring, you know. It's always the same. Like, I think it's a huge problem in freestyle that it's so repetitive. Like, for me, it was crazy a few years ago when Daniels Lyzan was the hero for everyone. You saw so many people having the same haircut as him, like having the same clothing style. But there were really few people who were trying to innovate, to do something new, to create a new style. And I think this is what's missing. More people that are unique, that like you, Andrew, you know, like, everyone knows you have a really special style, of your performances. You know, this is special. This is unique. And this is missing, because freestyle gets repetitive after some time, I think.
Yeah, it's important to be creative. That I think Daniel, when he performed in 2022 or 2023 on the Street Workout Ultimate Battle, and when he posted on social media, that's got like 50 million views.
Yeah, something like
that.
But
it was crazy performance. It was something unique. It was like a flow. You're going from one moment to another without hold, without anything. And that looks cool. That looks amazing, creative. Not just, okay, let's do one movement, go down. One movement, go down. Or just going to do like a 20 planche push-up or just 10 planche push-up, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's like, okay, 10 push-up, okay.
Yeah.
But isn't it maybe a problem of the rules, Daniel? Like, with if you want to, I think there is a difference if you want to do a show and like perform well, or if you want to collect the maximum points. Because I think if you only go for the points in a freestyle competition, you might also sacrifice maybe the aesthetics or like the flow of your performance. Or is it wrong?
Yeah, like in my situation, I always go for the points. You know, I'm going for the competition. I want to win that. It's always like that. Some people, I agree with that. Some people going for the show and making the show. You know, but you always can do the show by making your maximum performance. That's the thing. This is what I always aim for. And the thing that Andre said, that people, they trying to copy a lot in that situation, you know, because it's working. It's normally, I'm winning the competitions. People copy me. They want to win also the competitions. The thing is, here you're winning when you show something different, exactly what he said, when you create something. So instead of people focusing on being like exactly like someone, there's nothing bad to follow someone and to want to be like him, but do it with your own style. That's the thing.
Yes, it's important to find your own style. And that's also what sometimes happen, like people comment in social media, oh, why this athlete are famous and that athlete not famous, if he's still strong, because he tried to copy another athlete. I mean, like, why people should unfollow this athlete and follow that athlete, like, for what the reason, if he just do the same stuff?
Yeah, sometimes it's also not only about the skill, it's about the personality, who you are, what you're doing for the community, and these type of things that are a big combination.
I think in today's world, it's a mix between being a really good athlete, being individual, like being having a personality, and also the online marketing part. You need to be able to express it on social media. There are a lot of strong athletes in Ukraine and Bulgaria, wherever. They are super, super strong, but they are not famous because they don't have the vision of how to put it and how to present themselves on social media. So I think it's the mix of these three that also make you two like successful.
For example, like I don't know how much time Christoph invests into one video, but for example, I know people like spend 10 minutes and like, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to more, you know. And then in the beginning, when I start like social media creating like content, everything, I was wake up in the morning thinking like for 1 hour just about ideas and like, okay, this is not good. Okay, that's good idea. And then I'm going filming like a few hours in the row, then editing, then, okay, is this not? And like this, repeat it every day, you know? And Now even during the train, I'm like, oh, I need something new. I want to create something new. And just people don't want to invest a lot of time into this, you know? They're just like, okay, it's easy to copy, but it's hard to create.
True, yeah. In some videos, the thing that you're talking about, for example, with the dragon planches, oh, I remember myself spending hours in that, you know, like hours and hours trying, failing, even getting so mad at that day that I don't complete the video, I go in the other day. Yeah, this happened many times with me in the past. And this is exactly what you're saying, because people only, they look from someone, you know, and they boom, do. They look, they do. There's nothing bad about that. But when you create something and you fight to create something, it's so nice, you know, the feeling is insane.
Yes, when you create, it's happened like with the ring stuff. Yeah, I remember one skill on the rings, I spent like more than 2 hours, and in that 2 hours, I did 200 attempts. How I know? Because every time I film and then I just went delete all fail, it was like over 200 attempts. And people are like, fuck, you are crazy. Like just one skill for 200 attempts and how can you still perform? But that's yeah, that crazy. Was like, and you know, and still in that moment, I saw like, I don't want to do it, you know. And then even I took the camera, I just went to the exit and like, no, like, what the fuck are you doing? Let's back and keep going. And yeah, you know, like that's the what happened in your mind. Also, you start fighting, like you cannot exit, you cannot quit. You should keep going. Doesn't matter if you fail.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also the moment when you don't even think about the views, what you're going to get. Like, you know, you're just fighting with yourself to complete it. That's the emotions that you get from the video. That's nice.
That's the best feeling inside, like when finally you get it and you're like...
Yes. Yes, yeah. True.
But it's a thin line between perfectionism, which also slows down, you know, like... And you don't publish anything because you say, like, I know a lot of street lifters who don't post anything because they say, in my trainings, I don't do PRs. So they post, for example, on a competition, they post a 180 kg dip, and then they can't post anything from the trainings anymore because they only dip 150, 160, because this is the boring part. But so it's a thin line between being a perfectionist and like letting yourself slow down through the perfectionism, but still having high standards, trying to innovate. I also have to think of the quote, you know, like the man who knows 1,000 kicks isn't the dangerous one. The one who mastered like one kick with 1,000 times practice is the one that is really the dangerous one. And this in combination with innovating, I think, is the secret sauce.
It's the same like on the business. If you focus on one business and you focus and you give your whole your time into, like, for example, you, Philip, like, okay, you focus from 2015... Yeah, you start focusing and I see like how much time you invest into this and you're not just going, okay, let's try this. No, you start and focusing on the one thing and now, you are the biggest brand in calisthenics.
Yeah, true, because many brands started with us or after us, but they try to build like any like... academies, online academies, selling programs at the same time and like too many things at the same time. And it just you need focus for anything in life. If you want to unlock, like people were asking also in the questions, how can I unlock a full planche push up and front lever pull up and also become good in street lifting at the same time? You know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
too much. You know, it's like yeah. this is the question. People want to unlock everything at the same time and they are not willing to focus on one thing for 1 year, for 2 years, only focus on one thing. And then you become really good.
That's really interesting because reading sometimes my applications for the coaching, there's like that of goals, what they want to do. You know, it's planche, but push-ups, but presses, but front lever combinations. And when you see the level, it's beginner, you know? And you need to explain, there's no other options, that if you want to achieve something, start with one skill, master it, proceed to next one. You're right. It's everything in life is like that. If you focus on many things, at the end, you have nothing. Or you have some super extremely small level on those many things. That's it.
Even in the relationship, if you have one goal, if you have one wife, and you give your best, 100% of your energy, invest whole your life, then your relationship will be perfect.
Yeah.
Amazing. You will enjoy every moment. But if you like, oh, switch every month, every 2 weeks, you know, and like, oh, I'm so upset about the goals. Like, what should I do? I don't know. I can find it. Of course you can find it because you're switching them like like a gloss, you know.
Do you speak out of experience or?
From my own experience? Yeah, I'm seven years already, six years together. Yeah, 6 years together. And I'm so happy because like, when you have one person and you invest everything what you have, your energy, your time into one person, then it's also become better in your business because you don't need to like going and like you don't have another thought in your mind like, oh, you have a wife, you have a family, you have a relationship, that's it. Nothing like going disturb you when you start business or you start your career as a sportsman. And when you invest your energy, your time into one person, then she also invests her time, her energy to help you to build your business, to build your career, to build your social media presence. For example, like, you know, I have an amazing example. When I start social media 2020, I went to the sport park and I've been filming like from morning till night. And what my wife did, like she bring me like a food during that filming period, like she cook, she bring in the boxes, like so I don't waste time going to eat somewhere. So she brings me food on the sport park, I eat, then she helps me, you know, and it helps a lot because like without her, I wouldn't be even where I'm now because she's been supporting me. She's been helps a lot me during that journey.
Yeah, there is the quote, success starts at home. And, you know, where some people are like always thinking about the struggles that they have in their relationship, it can also be the complete opposite. You know, on Instagram, you see a lot of these reels where with girlfriend, you know, like and without girlfriend, people are getting lifting and stuff. But I think the reality is really if you have someone who supports you. And I mean, it's the same with you, Christoph. I saw your last YouTube video. Also, Andrea was just joining you on your training, even though she was not training herself, but she was just there to support you mentally and be there. I think this is super important.
Mm-hmm. To find the right person next to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's true.
Not in the club.
No.
Yeah.
That's true.
When some people even joking about me, like, oh, you're more Muslim than Christianity. I'm like, why? Because you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't party, just one girl in your life and that's it. And
yeah. Like,
yeah?
Same for me. Yeah. Nice. Cool. So, let's come back to the topic of the plan, like the injuries. And I would be super interested, Andrea, you already said it, now you train totally different than before. People were asking as well, how did they how did they train before the injuries when they started and how do they train today? So maybe Christoph, you want to start, what changed since your injury? How did you train before? How was your approach today?
So I said that many times in many interviews before that I was not extremely professional. Many people knows that my knowledge was really good, but I never use it for myself. I use it for friends, for students and everything. But for myself, I was just from the beginning was like that, always going with the combos, you know, killing my body. And that was all. And now it's totally different. Even I still don't get my level, but I already started to be really professional, not only with the workouts, but nutrition, food, you know, sleep, and these type of things that are so important for the progress and so underestimated for the progress also. People think it's only pushing training, but it's not. And right now, yeah, warm-up is totally different. Preparation, knowledge is different also, how to activate my body for the workouts. And just during the injury, I was thinking, okay, I became so good without using that knowledge, just pushing like crazy, you know. What will happen if now I start using this? And I already see so much better recovery, you know, during the days, even that the workouts are not so serious right now, not so hard. But yeah, I'm planning to import that knowledge and all that good habits that I have right now into my new routines and my new plan. And I think this will work maybe twice better, which is so nice.
Great story. When you say warm up, I'm like, it was, yes, warm up. Yeah, because, you know, before even like 2013, 14, 15, 16, my warm up was like, okay, planche, front lever, you know, like a handstand push up. Yeah. That was my warm up. And now it's completely different, especially like after injury. Before injury, I used to train even twice a day, in the morning and at the evening time, you know, and they just push. Now I train like once a day, and it's more about like now in the beginning of the workout, it's like a warm up, not even 10 minutes. It's around like 25, 30 minutes conditioning exercises, warm up, even like it starts with the band work, then easy progression of tuck planche. I'm like, I didn't do tuck planche for 6 years, let's say, you know, and now I do a lot of tuck planche presses, tuck planche push up, and then I just go into the main workout. So a lot of warm up, a lot of conditioning exercises, and start focusing more also on my mobility stuff. Because before 2022, I didn't strengthening my rotator cuff at all. And now I'm focusing a lot on this, to strengthening my rotator cuff, because I understand, like specifically in calisthenics, what I see also with my students, they get a lot of problem in that area. And that's important also to understand, to give a knowledge to people to strengthening that area so you can prevent injuries and you can stay longer in that journey.
We had team training like last week, and someone who is really new in calisthenics from the team, he started doing warming up himself for the workout with pull-ups. And we were like, Freddy and me, we were like, oh damn, pull-ups is something that we do later in the warm-up. You know, first you get your body rolling, you get like, you do some jumps, you do some running to get the whole blood flow up. Then you maybe do some rowing and some incline push-ups. Yeah, like for you, the tuck planche and stuff, the easier variations of the stuff that you will do later. But if you do like pull-ups and in your training, it doesn't make sense to also have pull-up as your warm-up. You know, what is the sense? The warm-up should always be like a more simple version of the exercise that you're doing later. So,
And what I noticed also, like after all the specific warm-ups, your performance also is better, because you activate every tissue in your body, every muscle, every fiber of muscle in your body. And then when you're going to perform, you can feel each part of your body. You can control each part of your body.
Where is the limit? Like when does the performance get worse? Can you do a too long warm-up? What do you think, Andre?
Sometimes people get tired during the warm-up, even, you know, and then like during the performance, like, oh, I feel like I'm tired. And that's also important to find what is the best timing for you. For example, for some person, I know one athlete, he does warm-up 2 hours. 2 hours. And that's crazy. Yeah, but he's a professional. And other people, for example, they do 12 minutes, 15 minutes, and they're tired. So it's the best way to find what is the best warm-up for you, after which you can perform, you can feel your body, and you can do the best what you could do.
Yeah, I also experienced that with myself. I tried different warm-ups, and until I find the right one that is not making me exhausted before the workout was so hard. And it's the thing, the tricky thing here is to find exactly the exercises that will not take your energy for the workout, but like you said, to feel more prepared and even the workout to be better because of all that full body activation in the muscles, tendons and everything. and then it works really good.
So again, we're talking about the body awareness, getting an understanding of your own body, because you are the one in it basically, and experience everything, all the sensations that are happening in your body. But at the same time, also the question came for the education. How did you learn about the sport? What are your sources in learning about your injuries, about your training, about programming, about your form, etc.? What sources do you take?
So first, as I told you, like I start 2012, there wasn't resources about calisthenics, but there was like a, because I didn't have even the phone with the internet, you know, so, and the resources was like, people told me, oh, I saw there is cool skill, can you try it? I'm like, how does it look? I mean, like, they, you go, you open legs, and you know, I'm like, okay, cool, let's try it. But then, like, in 2013, I went to study in university to become a better, to get the knowledge about the method of training, about anatomy, about your biomechanics, all of this. And then for a few years, I've been studying, and it helps a lot in my progress. Then I went to work in the circus in 2015. And then it's changed also, like, imagination about the performance changed a lot. Because, you know, before in calisthenics, people don't care about form. That's why even now, if you check my form, it's slightly different to compared to another athletes. Yeah, because in the circus, they told, like, what is this? Like, why you are pike? Why you are too protract? Why you arch? Why your feet not pointed? I'm like, okay. So then also, like, in handstand, why you arch? Why you didn't tag your pelvis? Why you are not locking your shoulders? And that helps a lot to bring new knowledge in my journey, in my experience, about understanding the technique, about the performance, about where you should focus on your body, how to contract your abdominal muscle, how to tag pelvis, how to feet pointed, how to lock your shoulders. Because in that part, my shoulder was here. I couldn't, like, fully lock over my head. And that's also a common mistake in calisthenics. That people are like, oh, why my handstand is arch? Do I need to strengthen my core? No, maybe your problem is about your shoulder flexibility. You need to focus more on the shoulders. And that helps me a lot. And then in 2020, when I finished with the circus, I went to study in fitness school to become a fitness instructor. Also to get another knowledge about the training, about hypertrophy, about nutrition, about method of different, because still the strength training, you know, we can like have a line between just weighted lifting, you know, and like a calisthenic. It's still like you can take knowledge from that part and bring to calisthenics. Exactly. And then 2021, I've been studying online school again, you know, about the nutrition, about the training, about the coaching people, because yeah, it's also important to get. And once I get injured, I just start to do a lot of searches on YouTube, on even like I ask ChatGPT, please show me the researches about the rotator cuff injury, how can I heal, you know. And so yeah, first it was university, then it was the schools, and then it was just now open sources like YouTube, Google, and ChatGPT, who showed me the researches, and then I just tap the link and going to read the researches.
Did you have a coach in the circus? Did you have someone who was telling you with the form?
I mean, like, not coach, but the friends who was more experienced, and they've been studying in a circus school, so they have more knowledge about the performance, because in the circus school you have a coach. So yeah, the friends, my partner, they told me like how to.
Yeah. Okay. So like university, a lot of like online school and other educational bases, then a lot of research on your own with Google, with ChatGPT, etc. And then, like also friends, strong athletes that you exchange yourself with and learn from people that you train with or that are more experienced, like these sources, right?
Yes.
Nice. Right. What about you, Daniel?
So I started 2018, December. I visited the park and I visited for random pull-ups, you know, and I saw, this was the first time I saw people doing dynamics and statics on the bar. I was so surprised. And in a few months, I started training with them. And before I realized, I learned some of the skills without even knowing how I'm doing them. You know, for example, straddle planche, these type of things. I didn't know about protraction, I don't even focus my body to be straight. It was just happening. And after some time, you know, when the level become better and better, higher and higher, I start talking with more knowledgeable people like Netko, for example, like Viktor Kamenov, and they teach me a lot of things. I learn a lot from the sport, and I try to import that knowledge into my workouts, and that's why I get also better results. And now at that level, when it becomes really high level, I started searching for more advanced knowledge that I can get. And exactly like Andrei saying, I started searching from gymnastic pro coaches in Japan, also talking with the coach in my gym that I'm training, Didu. He helped me a lot about these things. And this is how you learn. When you search for something, you learn. There's always some methods to learn. And yeah, I think also before was way harder, you know, to learn the knowledge, like Andrei saying, 2015, 2016, there was nothing in social media, nothing in YouTube. Now there's many athletes that can start and they can learn in the social media, you know, and it's way better. You can take a coach in calisthenics and people that know a lot. And this is how I actually learn. And in the university that I'm studying, I study gymnastics. And I'm so thankful for all the information that I learned there about anatomy, about biomechanics and these type of things that I can, because they talk about gymnastics, but at the end it's similar and I import it in my workouts. And yeah, it was pretty successful thing. And one more thing is like me and Andrei, when we train people, we also learn. That's really important. You know, you see different type of people with talent, people without talent, and this is how you also master your knowledge even more. And after that, when you train already 100 people, for example, when you see someone, you can much faster understand how the things will be for him.
Yes, because also like for some person, this method can work.
Exactly.
But for another person, it doesn't work.
Exactly.
And you need to find the right solution for that person. How to weak the struggle, how to fix the weak points of that person.
Exactly.
You know? You can't give just, okay, just do this. And then like, oh, I don't feel the progress. Like, okay, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just the basic stuff.
Yeah, that's nice. And exactly, that's why we also like that work, because it's, again, challenge to help to this person to find the right method, to find the right exercises and to progress together with him.
Yeah, when you see progress of your students,
that's
sometimes more excited than you know than of your own progress.
Exactly, that's true.
Yeah, and it's nice to have the knowledge of biomechanics, etc., in behind, because we have a lot of general questions, but I don't take them too much into these conversations anymore, because what is the best progression for full front lever? It really depends on the person, I would say. You know, it depends on where your lat attaches to your body. You know, if you have like a really low lat, you have totally different genetics and anatomy.
Yeah, it's all about anthropometric parameters, about your body length, about your arms length, about your torso compared to your length or to your legs ratio. So, yeah.
So either you educate yourself and learn a lot about this, you can like have a lot of stuff on YouTube, on Google, etc., or you contact someone like you guys that already coached over 100 people each, and you know this person is more this and this body type, probably this and this will help, because I had like 7-8 students who already were exactly the same body type and they progressed most with this. So either take the long lane, learn about it, educate yourself, or take the shortcuts and find someone with experience.
Yeah, because still there's a lot of, you know, video about the calisthenics, how you should progress. Even like Daniel made a lot of videos. I made a lot of videos. Still, if you want to learn just by yourself, you can search on YouTube, on Google about how to do this. There's a lot of open resources.
Because people don't know how lucky they are, you know. In 2000, I remember myself seeing in 2013, I only had the videos of Hannibal Fokking. I think Frank Medrano was also popping up at that time, and I only saw the performances. You only saw the end result, but you didn't know how to get there. I didn't even know how the muscle up was called. So I asked like a friend of the family who did like bench press really good, and I asked him, "How can I learn this?" You know, and no one knew. I didn't know how the move was called for one year or something, but I tried.
There wasn't term about protraction, depression, you know, activation, about tuck the pelvis, engage your glutes, all of this. Like, there wasn't. You just, okay, let's do it. And they're like, oh, I should push here. Oh, I should do this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and everyone's screaming on the competition, you know?
Yeah, and now you like people have the missing link. They are here, the end result is here, and now there are so many tutorials, so much knowledge on the internet, these podcasts, all the tutorials that you both have on your channels, you know, like explanational stuff, like coaching, so much stuff that people can look for.
Yeah, but also important to find the right tutorial, because sometimes I see exercise, I'm like, okay, interesting. Like, if you want to injure your elbow and biceps, do it.
Yeah. It's with the doctor, like with the doctors, you know, you have to look at many, have a general understanding, and then be able to say, this is good for me, this is not good, this is this doesn't help, and find the right approach for your body.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Nice. So, one topic that I still want to talk about, we already talked about the competitions. Andre, the question, the number one question, why don't you compete? Why don't we see you competing?
Oh, my last competition was 2014. Wow, that's 10 years ago. That's crazy. Okay, so, yeah. And why I don't compete now? I don't see reason. It's not my goal for this moment, you know. I have another goal. It's like to teach people, to educate people, to train people, to focus also on the business part, to focus on my strengthening part, to focus on the family. You know, I want to become the best, but still, like, I don't see the reason just to, because I know myself, if it's competition, I will try to prepare 110%. And then it's a high risk and it's not worth it for me, you know.
The investment, so just like, big investment, yeah. With the time and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big investment for competition and it's not my goal now. I don't see the reason to prepare for this.
Understandable. And also you have to say, if you are financially dependent on the sport, it's also currently not worth focusing yourself on being a competitive athlete. You know, it's something that's sad, but still, like, if you win in a competition, you you have a prize money of, yeah, if there is prize money, you have it like 1-2,000 euros, and that's you cannot compete every month to
Before compete. Also, like, you know, before the competition was like you want to show yourself and that people know about you, you know, but now still, like, in social media you can show yourself and people can know about you as well. Yeah. You can earn your reputation.
And it's a
even
way,
without competition.
Way better leverage. You know, you invest 5 hours in the gym and you go out with content that can reach, let's say, 500,000 people. But for a competition, you have to prepare for months. You invest, like, let's say, 100 hours minimum. And the outcome is way lower. So,
but one day you will see it.
Okay.
No, because I had some plan in my mind, you know. One day, yeah, you will see it.
Okay. But probably like statics competition, right? Like.
Yeah. It just, I have like one thing in my mind, just I want to prove to myself. And just, I don't want to be arrogant, you know, but just to show people that they're wrong.
And there's many people wrong. There's many people wrong. Talking about this, yeah. Yeah, it would be nice. It would be so nice to see you competing. So nice, because many people are like, content creators, you know, and this type of stuff. But many people don't understand.
You still care.
Yeah, many people don't understand how strong is he. You know, how much time he invests in that. And it would be nice, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people, there was some athletes like, oh, he's just TikToker. He can do even like one planche push-up. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
One question that will probably create a big beef. No, I'm joking, but
no problem.
The second most asked question, who has the stronger planche of you? Like, this was the second most asked question.
Of us two or in general in the world?
Of you two.
I don't know, but in general, in the world, I know the question.
That's so.
In my opinion, who had the strongest planche now?
That's a really good question.
You want to say Andriy or?
Yeah, Andriy
can
say.
The strongest planche, in my opinion, now? Mm-hmm. Son Hanma.
Okay, well, why do you think so?
Just, you know, a lot of stuff what he does, for example, even on the rings, it's crazy. Even the, for example, like 17 multis press on the floor, on the stick, then 7 back club push up, clean form, then supinated planche push up on the floor, like a 30 reps, then combination in the rings where he go one gelder, where he go like 5 pelican push up on the rings, where he go like a multis and can hold like a 30 seconds. All this combination, what he does and what he show, that's crazy.
Yeah, I can agree with him, and I'll explain why. There's so much things that he can do. Simple explanation, you know, there's so hard to say, but depends on, if we talk about overall, he's the strongest, that's true. If we talk about volume, will be other people. If you talk about hold, will be other people. Yes. Form will be other people, but complex of that, this guy is crazy. I can agree with that. You know, doing
it. I agree with you. In the volume, he is not the strongest. In the combination, he is not the strongest. In the form, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
But if we talk about the trend part, because I know how hard it gets, like a 7 back lap push up,
clean that's
form,
crazy.
Legs together, then also get 5 pelican push up on the rings. Good form.
Interesting. It's really interesting because in the last podcast episode with Baki and Pera, the two street lifters, we were also talking about him because it's crazy how versatile his strength is, because I think he also made a weighted dip with, what was it?
178
even, like with his body weight. What the
70
fuck,
you know? 73 kilograms, because and his progress is crazy, because in 2021 I remember, like, he tried to copy my challenges, you know, like try to do my challenges, and then I see like he copy and then he just like pfft. I'm like, what's going on? And he become, I mean, like, he did Hephaestus plus 38 kilograms, then like a dips 178. Yeah, pull up, I think around 90 kilograms.
That's crazy.
That's huge strength. That's crazy strength. This is like he's have a huge talent and hard work.
For clean strength, we can say that's extreme level. You know, even doing dips 175 or something, it's.
Yes. Every 78.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But if you talk about like a combination, other stuff, they have like a better athletes.
But clean strength, this guy is just destroying it.
But if you talk about us two, I think like Christoph in some variation stronger, I'm in other variation stronger.
Yeah, I can agree with that fully.
There is not like who is stronger in the overall, because he is good in one thing, I'm good in another thing.
Exactly. Different focus also that we have, you know, different style also that we have.
Yeah.
But we both strong.
Yes.
Finally, I can show my muscle.
Yes.
you were waiting for this. Nice. So
I joined that podcast just for that moment.
Nice. But because we talked about Son Hanma now, do you think he's strong in weighted calisthenics, like in additional weight because of statics, or do you think he's becoming stronger in static because he trains with weights as well?
I talk with him, so I know how he trains, you know, and he focuses most in static strength, static dynamic strength, like a lot of push-ups, and then he would been focusing like a few months and he becomes strong in the dips. Not like a few years.
Yeah.
Mainly focused on the dips. No, I think because he does a lot of explosive power, a lot of crazy stuff on the ring. So it's strengthening his tendons, his triceps, his shoulders, and he become a strong overall. And that strength transfer to the weight lifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for him it's special.
Strength. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's also his really special character, let's say, that is gifted in that situation, because he's like you're saying, Andre, he's really so fast progressing in these things, you know? And I think, yeah, he's like, when you're different from the others, there's something like a talent inside, you know, or a gift. So he used that, and that's how he get that level. But his level is crazy, man.
So the maximum strength and the explosive strength that he gains during his statics trainings, you know, like all the push-ups and stuff, this like is transferring to the weights then, which is universal strength. Because I think you two, Andrew, you also do a lot of YouTube challenges where you try the skills of other athletes and you most of the time succeed quite well with weighted muscle-ups. I just saw the video with Sliders and like all these things, yeah. Or with Stipke, I think it was.
With Stipke.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a weighted push-up. I don't practice like weighted push-up, but still like I can do like plus 100 kilograms on my back, you know, weighted push-up. No. Then also like sometimes people surprise. I don't train legs, like specifically with the weight, and then I can do like 120 kilograms for 6 reps or pistol squat like plus 40 kilograms, you know?
Why is that? Why do the legs get stronger even though you...
I think if we talk about... there are some researches that even if you don't train some part of your body, the body try to compensate and strengthening that area as well.
True. I think it was with people who only train one arm.
Yes. Then another arm gets stronger as well.
Yeah. Interesting. Nice. So yeah, we're coming to the last question of the overall podcast. What's your vision of the sport in the future? Do you think it will be Olympic one day? Where do you see calisthenics in?
Oh, that's actually a good question. Daniel, can you start first?
Yeah, I think that's a really hard question to answer, but I'll tell you what I think. I think more this sport comes with, if it will be hard to explain, but what is giving this sport name to be a special for me is that you have the freedom to do maximum things. You know, in the gymnastics, it's not like that. For example, we take Olympic sport that is super close, the closest one to calisthenics here. And I think that's possible to become Olympic, but I still don't know how will be the things with gymnastics, you know, because many people hate that. Many people saying that it's super similar. It's super similar. That's true. But for a normal person, it's hard to see the difference between calisthenics and gymnastics. And I think that's going to be the big problem here. This is what I can say for now.
Yeah. I think street lifting have a huge potential
to
become.
Yes, I agree here.
Street lifting have a huge potential to become as Olympic sport. For the calisthenics, yeah, as Daniel say, a lot of people compare calisthenics to the gymnastics. And especially a lot of people say it's completely different. But we can like have a parallel and we can see what is similar, what is different, you know. And for average person, it's difficult to say. And for Olympic Games, it's not only the sport. It's also about the business. It's about the money. It's about finance as well. And there was the also moment I know one time they want to remove wrestling from the Olympic Games because less tickets sell on that kind of sport, you know. And it's also important to understand if calisthenics become Olympic sport, where people will go to watch gymnastics or calisthenics. To watching calisthenics, it should be the huge difference that people will enjoy. That people will be like, okay, oh, it's they do, let's say, dynamics, but gymnastics do the same dynamics, but in the higher amplitude, you know, like with straight body, all of this. Then, like, we go into the static. Oh, gymnasts do static on the rings with the crazy stuff as well. So it's important to, if we want to bring, like, calisthenics into Olympic sport, it should be different compared to another sport. It cannot be similar. It should be different, and then it can become.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said I like the freedom about that. Freedom in the calisthenics, because in the gymnastics, you don't have that freedom.
Yeah, street lifting have a huge potential, and I think it will become not maybe, I mean, like soon, I think it will become street lifting because it's interesting even for me. Street lifting, I watch like from beginning to the end because it's interesting, and for the average person, it's easy to understand who win. You know, okay, who lift more, that person win, and you're excited to see, okay, how much he can lift, how much he can pull, how much he can push. When you watch calisthenics, especially like statics, all of this, average person, oh, it looks all similar. How can we judge who win? You know, there is like a not objective perspective also about the winner.
Yeah, and many people writing gymnastics, you know, and this type of thing. So for the normal person, it's really hard to see the difference. It's super hard. And it's not something that we can judge the people, you know, because this is what they see.
So if there will be innovation in calisthenics, if there will be like something different, that can be that day it can become Olympic sport. If there will be continuing that way, it will, I would say it's like very low chance.
Yeah, that's true. And if I can talk with the risk, maybe some people to hate me here, I would say that calisthenics athletes becoming stronger than the gymnastics right now when we talk about statics and all that combination between push and pull. And I think this can be one of the way calisthenics to show the difference, you know, with making just totally better level in all that strength parts.
Okay, we'll see one day.
Yeah,
we'll see
how it's going. But important is to bring something new, you know, not to just focus, okay, let's do the same what other people do. If there will be like innovation, then it have a potential. Maybe even like if it's static competition, not just like a static battle and that's it, you know, maybe it should be like, okay, who do more planche push-up presses, let's say, you know, clean form. And then it's also easier for people. Oh, okay, he's going to do handstand push-up for the reps with the extra weight. Okay, interesting. So let's try it. Oh, he's going to do a planche push-up for the reps. You know, it's something like what I really would like to watch. Even like if you now say like, what would you like to watch? Just a static competition, or would you like to watch like a ISO performance thought about to do? I would prefer this to watch.
Yeah.
To see like really who will be stronger in the planche push-up, who will be stronger in the planche presses, who will be stronger in one arm planche, and all of this, it can be very interesting one for me.
Yeah, I always have to think of the big success of Strength Wars back in the day. I don't know if you saw it. It was like more more in the direction of powerlifting, but it was 1v1 battles. It was like 20
yeah,
pull-ups.
That's actually, for example, the last battle, Max True compare versus another, it's got 1 million already on YouTube.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made this kind of battle in Bali, and with the gym, there was a competition, and I was the presentator. The hype, the vibe was crazy. You know, when you can see one-to-one and it's a versus battle in the same time, and who do more, people are so excited. People support that the vibe was crazy. And then in the same day, it was like a freestyle. People like was, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the exact same thing. Like we're organizing always in April, on the FIBO, the Calisthenics Cup. The freestyle battles last year had, let's say, 5,000 views, 3,000 views, something like this. And the endurance battle, 100,000 views, you know, Max versus Sergio, yeah, two of the best in the world, like, and then 20,000 views, 40,000 views, like endurance, 1v1, you see, oh, the one is already finished with the pull-ups and he's still doing the pull-ups, you know, it's like, this is interesting. You see
that people have excitement, you know, it's the same. There is have a TV show now with the Dwayne Johnson, Titan call, Titan Games, I think. They are crazy athlete, but they don't do crazy challenges. They do like a challenges where like an obstacle and people can understand it. And it's get like a lot of views. It's on Netflix.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Need to write it down.
Yeah. Then I want to say one thing. Oh, that's what also like you say about endurance and about the freestyle. When I start like also social media, I start like creating video. I start like a filming content and people told me like, oh, it's boring. Planche is boring. Like nobody interested in this. And they told me like, oh, you should do freestyle. You should do it dynamic to get at least some views. And I'm like, okay, let's see it. We'll see it. Like, and then like I start getting, okay, 10,000, 20, 30, 50, and then like 160 million planche. I'm like, was okay. You see? Yeah.
No. Yeah, so we're back in the topic of innovating, trying to find your own way. It's just maybe the message of this podcast to have people learn more about themselves, about their body, and then trying to find out who am I, who do I want to be, and create an identity that is unique instead of trying to copy someone else. I think this summarizes this quite well. And yeah, we still have three random questions from the community. What movement is harder for you, front lever or planche?
In the beginning was planche.
For me, it was front lever.
For me, front lever was so easy. Like, I mean, like I did like a front lever pull up in touch, like in 2013, like easy, you know. Planche was quite hard to achieve. But then like, I was like, front lever, okay, you just pull up. Not interesting, you know. And then I start focusing on the planche. But now I just want to... Also, I mean, like, prove something to myself, you know, and prove to the people that they are not completely right. So, yeah, now I start focusing on the front lever as well more. Yeah,
for me, it was front lever because at the beginning I was more focused on the planche. I don't even think about the front lever, you know. And one day I just decided to train it and it was a little bit harder to get it. But now... At my prime, when I hit my prime level, I can say that there was really similar level.
But if you talk the hardest skill for me, it was one arm handstand.
The balance.
Okay.
The balance was the hardest part for me. Like to achieve one arm handstand took me longer than Maltese.
Crazy. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. What basic exercise helps the most to learn the planche? You talked a lot about push-ups. About dips, we talked. What is the basic exercise that everyone should master before even thinking of planche?
Daniel, what do you think?
Hard to say for everyone. Really hard to say for everyone. But I think many people, before going for the planche, they can practice handstand, which is really good, helping a lot. And on the basics, I can say they can just practice all the basics, like dips, push-ups, pike push-ups, and this type of variations.
So... I agree with the part about like a handstand. Also for people who come to me and like, oh, we want to unlock planche. You know, what I tell is to unlock planche, it took a lot of time. It takes way more time than handstand or like in other skills. And that it will be like crazy hard for your mindset. But if you start with the easier skill and it will help develop your muscle engagement, muscle connection, control in your body, and you will have this accomplishment, enjoyment in the inside. Like, oh, I get this skill. I get this skill. And if you're going like from easier skill to the harder skill, it will take way faster and you will enjoy the process and your body control, your muscle, your tendons. Also, it will be way more stronger and you will have better control. If you're jump straight to the planche, then it can take a lot of time because you don't have a control. You don't understand how to engage muscle in your body. How about, okay, what should I do with my body? I cannot control my shoulder. I cannot control my shoulder blades. But if you start with the easier skills, then it can be easier to unlock the planche. And if you talk about just basic strength, I recommend like to do overall because the thing is you become stronger in the pull-up. It's also good for general strength. To be overall strength, not just a push, but also to have a pull strength as well. Yes. And yeah, to not jump straight away to the planche. I know so many people will disagree with me, but it's important to master the basic. Why? I can explain is if you have a good strength, let's say like a good strength and you can do like 30 push-up, let's say. When you go into the planche, you don't need to focus about just get down and get up. Instead, you can focus on the engagement and the technique. Because when you just start doing push-up, for example, when you do 10 push-up, 15 push-up, you're still focusing how to get one rep, you know? You're still focusing about just to bend your arms and push. But when you have a good strength, then you can focus more on the technique, engagement, and your body control. You can feel each part of your body and not focusing, okay, let's just push.
Yeah, so true. So true. So when you have the base, it's way more easier to focus on the technique after that and the things that you can practice instead of focusing so many things, you know, and get distracted after that. And I really like what you're saying for the basics. And yeah, that's true. There's so many people that will disagree with that. There's people saying, oh, you need only planche progressions. You start from lean, you go to tuck. No, you need overall strength. That's the thing. And yeah, basics is something extremely important that I also skipped a little bit at my journey from the beginning. And I can say from my personal feeling that it's not good to skip the basics. It's really important.
Yeah, at some point I also skipped and I was like, oh, let's not focus on the basic stuff. And then also like my endurance, my progress was slower.
Yeah.
Instead, when I start focusing also to add basic exercises into my workout, and now especially like for the last few years, I add a lot weighted pull-up, weighted dips into my workout as well. It helps to develop my strength too, you know, like a raw strength, not specific skill strength, just like a raw strength.
Yeah, and for a beginner, it's so unhealthy to go directly with the planche, like you said, because of all the muscles and tendons. Even I can give example on my level right now. For example, when I'm injured, my level dropped a lot. And not only of the injury, but to prevent future injuries, I'm not going to push directly with the planche, but will adapt my tendons and muscles with some basics, you know. And yeah, all that adaptation will help me for the future.
Yeah, for example, a lot of people experience when they start practicing planche, strain in their forearm, huge pain in the
always here under the bone.
Yeah, and you know why it's happened most of the time? Because when you don't have enough shoulder strength, and then when you lean forward or you do different progression, you start compensate with your forearm and you try to squeeze the barlets as hard as you can.
Yes.
But your shoulders can't hold your body. And then you start feel pain in your tendons, you start feeling your forearm because you try to compensate that weak point with this. And as a result, you start feel like a forearm strain and they're like, what should I do?
Yeah, and people always say, when I do it, I don't have the pain when they grab it, but when I let it go, the pain is coming.
And they release?
Yes.
Yeah.
So typical.
That's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have a good shoulder strength, you don't need to even focus on your forearm.
Yeah.
You don't need to focus, like, you can hold with the shoulders. You can also, like, activate your biceps as well. You don't need to squeeze as hard as you can.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Nice. Awesome. Last question, random question. Are statics good for building muscle mass? What do you think?
For building muscle mass, look, if you talk in general calisthenics, they are shredded, they have a muscle. But if you talk about like muscle mass, they don't have like a huge muscle, only specifically static athletes. Yes, they like have a shredded muscle, good shape. But it's not a huge mass. So specifically, if you want to have a huge mass, you should focus also on the hypertrophy method as well.
Yeah, exactly. So you can, of course, you're going to change a little bit, not a little bit, but for some people you change on the statics. But if you want like more advanced level, you need to focus on totally different workouts, you know.
Yeah, because like you will not found the best static athletes, let's say 60 kilograms who have a huge mass.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you will have a huge mass, 80 kilograms, you know, not 60 or 65. Because the best static athletes, they're around 60, 65.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For example, I'm 166 centimeters high. Like, yeah, it's a good high for the calisthenics. And I'm 75 kilograms.
And Daniel, you're much lighter, right? Like
60, yeah?
No, under 60 even sometimes, most of the times even.
Yeah, and still he have a good shape, he have a good muscle, he have a good condition, you know?
Yeah.
So that's important. He build that muscle, he build that condition with all work what he does. But if he will like really, I want to build more muscle, then he should focus more on the nutrition. more on hypertrophy method of training.
Yeah, so I'm actually the perfect example of what you get if you train the statics only and you know, the dynamics without specific workouts with weights and yeah, the hypertrophic workouts that you're talking about.
Yeah, it always depends on the genetics a little bit. Yeah. So maybe Andrew, you're just more bulky.
Oh, no, I can send you the picture.
So you're like skinny overall.
Oh, I know him.
In overall, I was the skinniest person in the school, in the class. Yeah, okay. I was very skinny. Like even when I start calisthenics, I was like 50 kilograms. So skinny, you know. Yeah.
I saw the photo of you. Yeah, you posted, I think, one time. I saw the photo.
Yeah, it's not like I was bulky. No, I was so skinny. During my childhood, I was very skinny guy. Yes. Then also, like, I start calisthenics. I built, like, some muscle. I was very strong. It was around, like, 62 kilograms. And then I decided I want to have more muscles, you know. And I will start focusing. I want to build more muscle as well.
Nice. So, yeah, maybe to answer the question, it is possible to build muscle mass with statics, but there are way better like methods. You can also build muscle mass with yoga or something, but it's never the most efficient way.
It's limited. Muscle. Limited.
Yeah, you can build to some amount, you know, to some condition. Then if you want to break it, you should focus specifically to build a muscle.
Yeah. And don't
it's still possible like with the body weight. But if we talk just a static, then no, it's not in that way.
Yeah. And I didn't want to say that statics is like yoga, so don't.
No, it's good. I mean, like, look, honestly, I tried yoga one time.
It's crazy.
Bali, I tried. It's crazy. Like, some position, what they do, it's crazy. It's super hard.
Yeah. No. True. Nice.
Yes. But... Oh, if you think yoga is too easy, you should try. The same, like, can I want to just have speech to people? Mm-hmm. Guys, important. If you hate CrossFit, then you should try it. You should try it. You should understand why they do all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Why they do this. You should try it and then you can call it, oh, it's too easy. Try it and you will be surprised. I tried a few times. That's crazy.
Yeah. And CrossFit is not like CrossFit, you know? Like, people always see the highlights, like the worst performances, the worst fails of CrossFit. Like, it's always easy to hate something if you have a limited...
No, but they're crazy strong. Like, if we talk about the high-level athletes, they're crazy strong. Their endurance, it's crazy. Their performance, what they do, it's crazy. Even to do, like, a swing muscle up 20 reps, it's not easy. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just different, you know, they probably have like some benefits in comparison to calisthenics. They have way better strength endurance, way better stamina, better heart, etc. So it's just different.
It's the same like if, you know, I love to do this parallel. Like, we hate the CrossFit athletes. Okay, not we, but some calisthenics athletes hate CrossFit athletes because they do swing. Okay, then why you don't hate planche athletes who do with the keeping, who arch their back, who do like swinging, who don't lock arms at the top? The same goal, just different position. To do more reps, to spend less energy. To do more reps, to spend less energy.
Yeah, true.
To do more combination. You know?
Yeah, true.
If you hate those people, then why you don't talk about these people? Because the same, just different exercise. To do more reps with the spending less energy and to do more combination. And like with the keeping press to the handstand, then like a keeping push up, that all of this, it's also like front lever pull up with the arch hips to the top, false grip in the front lever, not locking arms at the bottom fully. It's also the same goal, waste less energy, do more reps.
True.
Agree. Good ending for this podcast. If you're interested in this topic, we can record another yoga and CrossFit episode in the next one. But
I would like to talk a lot about this because sometimes I'm like, I'm watching on Instagram, I'm like, guys, why you hate? We should just spread the we should propagand the sport, we should popularize the sport about just it healthy, you should do it, and it's better for your body, it's better for your mental health, it's all better. You don't need to hate another sport. Yeah. We can be in one field and working on one thing, is to be more health and to prevent, to have less disease, and yeah, to be just better population, to be better nation, you know?
Because I feel like the danger is that calisthenics is seen such as a small elite community that is hating everything outside of their like standards, that it's so uninteresting for people to start with calisthenics because we're hating everything, you know?
I mean, like, I don't hate nobody, for example. I don't hate even other athletes. Even if they hate me, they comment bad things about me in comments. I'm like, okay. No problem. Like, okay, you can hate me. Yeah, it's your choice.
Yeah, let's educate. Let's give it. We can give advice. We can educate, but we don't have to hate someone for it. You know, everyone started. Everyone has different
spread
reasons.
Love to the community.
That's true.
And positive energy.
Awesome. Then let's end this podcast episode with a positive note, with a positive ending. Big thanks to both of you for taking the time. It's been a long but really productive and interesting podcast episode for me. I think we talked about really interesting topics. And I leave you the end word. And just from my side, thanks to everyone for listening. If you like this episode, give it a thumbs up. If you have future questions, we maybe do a version 2 of this one, as we said, with yoga and CrossFit or whatever is interesting you, put it in the description. And now the word is to you, Daniel, to say goodbye to everyone.
So I would say one thing is that because that was the thing that we talk about in the podcast, trust your body and follow your dreams. That's for me the most important thing.
And what I want to say is, if you want to be the best, do what others don't. Everyone can become a legend, but not everyone can handle the journey to that point.
True. Awesome. Then thanks, guys, for participating.
Thanks for inviting.
Thanks, Philip. Yeah, thank you for inviting. It was nice. It was good conversation. I enjoyed so much.
Awesome. Thank you.